I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 17.
So this is going to be a discussion with Mackenzie from the Little Deers, or Little Deers, L-I-T-T-L-E-D-E-R-A-S, Little Deers, about dog shows.
Mackenzie is very involved in the dog show world, but as we discover in our interview, she still considers herself a noob,
mm-hmm.
and she's still learning everything about conformation, agility, and we're going to get to that in the interview.
Funny enough, Mackenzie and I are actually childhood friends. So we went to daycare and kindergarten together and then went to high school together and then have just reconnected in the last little bit because of Italian Greyhounds, because we both have Iggies.
Iggies bringing people together.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I've mentioned this to Mackenzie, but my mom reminded me that when Mackenzie first got her dog, she brought it to Dorset to see her grandmother, who has a business across the road from my parents' door. So I'm pretty sure that I got to meet Willa when she was like a few months old. So how cool is that, that this dog and I have a history?
Even more than me, I had never met an Italian Greyhound before I got one.
Well, when they're that tiny, they don't look like anything.
That's true. You probably didn't know it was an Italian Greyhound. Yeah. You're like, cute dog. Little did you know, cutest dog ever.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you enjoy this interview. And again, if you have any questions, always reach out to us or Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm. And let us know what you think of the interview format. This is fun. This is
our very first interview.
Our first interview.
Hello, Mackenzie. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into the dog show questions for today, we're just going to ask you a few rapid fire questions about yourself.
Sure. Go for it.
Number one.
Name one thing about your dogs that you love.
Oh, I love about Aladar. I love how ridiculous she is. She is like so dorky and she's so pretty, but she's so ridiculous. Like if you could see her right now, she is just here.
little Thanksgiving turkey.
Look at that.
She's just sitting there being like a complete dork, and that's like pretty standard. And Willa, what I love about her is she's very adventurous. She's really up for anything. She's really confident. So I can like throw her into any situation. And she is just like the best. Yeah, she's pretty great. She's a really good dog. Yeah.
I love that. Number two, if you could have a dog that wasn't an Iggy, which breed would you choose?
My first choice would definitely be an Aswak. So an Aswak are essentially tall ancient sighthounds. They are similar looking to a Salugi, if you know what a Salugi is.
Yeah.
Or if you take a Saluki. So if you take a Saluki and you get rid of its hair, then that's kind of what an Aswak looks like. They're square dogs.
Uh-huh.
They're very square and they're tall and they're freaking fast. And I love them because they remind me of Aladar. I also am partial to other sighthounds. So I do love a wolfhound, a deerhound. And if I were to get another toy dog, though, this is like totally different. It would definitely be the Brussels Griffon because they're just so funny. Like you just look at them and you just want to laugh. So
I love
that's
it.
What I want. That's what I want. If you get like the tall, elegant IG, and then you get like this little like Ewok looking dog, and it's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We have one that lives around the corner. So Adelaide on our walk always gets to meet him if he's there. And I love him so much. I need to find out the name. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name. I just love him.
please find out the name.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, do you have an Instagram? My question, yeah. Always. I want to follow you when we're not on dog walks. I want to know your whole life. Please
that
give me your
hilarious.
Instagram.
Okay, number three. We all have our favorite colors. What is your favorite color?
So my favorite color is emerald green. I love dark greens. I guess they kind of remind me of like being in nature, which is like super cheesy sounding, but it's true. And my girls, the color, they're red or red fawn, and they look really good with that color also. So it's like a win-win.
It's true. I think that like matching the color, like coat color with your color is a big bonus.
Yes.
Very complimentary.
Number four.
Oh, Oh, yes. I'm skipping a question. Here we go. Number four. What is your favorite place you've ever been with your dogs?
My favorite place I've ever been with my dogs is definitely out east. And when I say out east, I mean Nova Scotia. We're in Canada. So Nova Scotia, PEI, New Brunswick. Those three provinces are to die for. They're so beautiful. We did go in November, so it was cold and not great IG weather. We like just hiked and just everything is so beautiful. Even just driving around, it's like it's amazing. So that is definitely my favorite place I've been so far. I want to take them when COVID is less risk. I want to take them to, like, I want to go to the warmer states. So, like, go to, like, Florida and stuff and see them on the ocean. I think that would be really fun. But that probably won't be for another couple of years, but we'll see.
I feel like there needs to be, like, an Iggy weather app, the app on your phone, and it's like, must wear a sweater, yes, must wear a snowsuit.
Yeah, measured in clothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Naked, can go naked at all times.
Oh, that's so funny. Yes.
If you're in Florida, you're just like naked weather, and that's it. That's the forecast for the day. Naked with an umbrella. So we're going to get into our questions.
Now, questions.
I think that Ryan, you explained, we do a little intro that we already recorded where Ryan explains how we know you, Mackenzie. But do you want to give just like a little bit of bio about yourself, Mackenzie, where you're from, just like the short things as well?
Sure. So I'm from Muskoka, Ontario, Canada, which is where I am right now. I've lived in Muskoka area for most of my life until I hit my early 20s. I then moved to the big city. So I live in Kitchener-Waterloo, which is just an hour outside Toronto for all of those people not familiar. I also run an Instagram account called Dog Friendly KWs, which is for the Kitchener-Waterloo region. We focus on all dog friendly activities in the region, and that's really, really fun. Like Kitchener-Waterloo is a really, really dog friendly spot. We're really grateful for all the different hikes, restaurants, breweries that allow the dogs in. And I take my dogs everywhere, literally. I if I'm going somewhere and I can bring the dogs, I will bring the dogs. Of course, like, I don't bring them anywhere that they're not allowed. They are not ESDs or anything like that. They're just my loves. So I want to bring them with me and experience things. But that's part of the reason that I got into dog shows. So we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, the reason I got into the dog shows is because of the activities linked to my dogs.
All right. Today, we're going to talk to you about Woolwag, a new company that just launched June 1st in 2020, coming from a French-Mongolian couple living and working in San Francisco.
So they're very proud of their process of creating cashmere sweaters and scarves for dogs.
So fancy.
They work with a factory directly in Mongolia, which actually provides 40% of the global cashmere supply.
Had Who no knew? Idea.
But they are dedicated to making sure that their product is manufactured where it is sourced in Mongolia, because so much of their cashmere is exported that they want to make sure the process of these sweaters getting made contributes to the global good.
They were inspired by their dog, Bizu, who is a doxy you can find on Instagram, at Bizu Doxy. And their sweaters are made for small dogs. They are soft, lightweight, breathable, odor-blocking, wrinkle-free, hand-washable. So we just received our product, and let me tell you, it's so soft. Adelaide looks absolutely adorable. She's going to be warm for winter time, and she looks so fancy.
They have just recently come out with a whole bunch of new colors. So their original colors were gray, pink, and blue, but now they have added tan, a lighter gray, red, purple, navy, and our favorite, yellow.
Yellow! So Adelaide's got a yellow hoodie, but there's also a turtleneck style, and she's got a purple scarf.
So you can check out their website, woolwag.com, or find them on Instagram at Woolwag, W-O-O-L-W-A-G. And if you would like to get 10% off of your first order, you can use our code IGGY10, I-G-G-Y-1-0.
So this is a new company, and we're so excited to support them because we really love what they're doing. Sustainable, 100% Mongolian cashmere for dogs. Who wouldn't love to do something good and keep your dog warm and looking stylish? Let's get started. Question number one, Ryan, you want to take it away?
Okay. Well, you were just leading into this, but how did you get started presenting your dogs in dog shows? Was it something you thought of before getting your first puppy, or did it just happen kind of naturally after?
So I knew that my husband and I knew that we wanted a purebred. And the reason we wanted a purebred dog was not because we're anti-rescue or anything. It's not that. It's just that we wanted to know what we were going to get. So we knew we wanted a low shedding dog. We knew we wanted a small dog. We live in a condo. And we knew that we wanted a dog that was going to be pretty versatile, but also really pretty. I like pretty dogs. Everybody loves cute, pretty dogs, right? But I wanted like that really elegant looking dog. So how it worked was we found a breeder and contacted her. My husband and I were drinking at a bar, and I finally talked him into getting a dog. And so I contacted the breeder literally at the bar, and I was just like, hey, we're looking for a puppy. You know, I have never done this before. Just help. What do I do? And she's like, oh, well, actually, our female is expected to give birth any day now. We'll put you on the list. And I was just like, wow, okay. Literally the next day, she had puppies. And that was Willa's litter. So at this point, I just wanted a pet. I just wanted a pet. That's it. And my husband definitely just wanted a pet. So how it worked was we went and we visited the breeder, and we just got talking, and she asked, you know, why the Italian Greyhound breed, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, I did my research. And, you know, I looked at all the different breeds, and I watched Westminster on TV, Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. That's the big dog show every February in New York City. And I just said, the IGs, the Italian Greyhounds, just stood out to me. They were just the breed that I saw. And I was just like, yes, that's the one. We were looking at Chinese Cresteds. Chinese Cresteds are also a toy breed. And they also are naked and low shedding. But like, come on, like, no offense, Chinese Crested people, like, they're not Italian Greyhounds to me. Like, they're special.
Italian Greyhounds can be cute and dorky, and Chinese Cresteds can only be one of those.
Exactly.
I do feel like with the hair, though, it's a fun effect. It's like human hair. I like that.
They're really special dogs. So she breeds both. So that's how we got into it. That's how we nailed it with her being the breeder. We just got talking. And anyway, she seemed like she was interested that I was interested in the dog show. And so she invited me and Jason, my husband, to the dog show that was happening in a couple weeks. Willow wasn't old enough to come home. She was only like 4 or 5 weeks at that time. But she's like, hey, it's only an hour away from here. Do you want to come watch? And I was just like, yes, I do want to come watch. I've never seen a dog show in real life. I've only seen it on TV or the internet. So I would love to watch. So we went, and I learned a lot. And I think that the breeder, both co-breeders were there. So I think that they were impressed that I knew as much as I did. And again, this was just from watching YouTube and Westminster, right? Like, I knew a lot of different breeds. Anyway, so she asked me then and there, hey, your puppy is really nice. Do you want to show her? And I was just like, sure. And then the rest is history. So, like 4 months, or I guess it would have been like 5 months later, I was at my first dog show. She was there cheering me on. I learned how to enter dog shows through her. I learned how to show up to a dog show, when to show up to a dog show, what to wear to a dog show. And then through carrying on, I found more and more mentors, and those mentors really taught me everything I know now about the dog shows. It was a fluke. It was not planned.
So the clothing, what not to wear?
Yeah. So clothing in the dog show world is very important. Do not wear jeans. Do not wear pajamas. Do not wear a t-shirt. So how it works is you have to wear something very professional. So typically for women, it is like a skirt suit.
I always see that, like business, like the little sets.
Yeah, so it is a skirt suit combo, and those are very professional in the dog show world. Those are what like a lot of the professionals wear. And then for men, it's like a suit. So usually with a tie or a bow tie. You got to dress the part. I don't know why, honestly. Like the CKC, the Canadian Kennel Club, and the AKC, the American Kennel Club, those two are really like, you have to dress nicely. Whereas the United Kennel Club, the UKC, is like, you could show in your pajamas. Like, they don't care. but I've seen it. But the CKC, AKC, they're like, no, you have to dress appropriately. So I wonder why that started. But some of the outfits are hilarious. If you've ever seen the movie Best in Show, that's real. That's true. That is real life.
Yes. I think I saw a picture. I believe I sent this to you like months ago. And it was a person presenting at a dog show, and she was in like a Bo Peep costume. Like she was in like a full gown with like the bonnet and everything.
Yeah, that was really funny. And I know that guy too in the picture.
And I was like, is this real, Mackenzie?
Okay, that was real, but it was like meant to be a costume. So
okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's hilarious what some people show up wearing.
Question number two, you want to ask?
What is a dog show? Who are the players and how does the event go? So what's a handler, a judge, and a participant? How many breeds? Like,
give us the whole spiel.
Okay, so there are about 200 breeds, registered breeds, that can show in a dog show. So how it works is there are 7 different groups. There are the, terrier, hound, non-sporting, sporting, toy, herding, working. 7. Did I get them all?
That sounds right to me.
Okay, sweet. Okay, so those 7 groups are, those 200-ish dogs are cut up into those 7 groups. And then how it works is there can be up to 40 different breeds of dog in a group. And how it works is it starts with the breed. So Italian Greyhounds I'll use. So you have an Italian Greyhound and you go into the ring with a bunch of other Italian Greyhounds. Your job or the point of a dog show is to win best of breed. So best of breed, how it is judged. So there's the judge who you will see standing in the middle of the ring. And then the dogs walk in a circle around the judge. And then the dog is put on the table and the judge goes over the dog. The judge is looking at the dog and comparing it to the dog's breed standard. So every single of the 200-ish dogs that are registered have a breed standard. It is a written standard. Sometimes there's illustrated standards, but most of them are written standards. And what those are is the judge will then, in the judge's head, will think, okay, this is what an Italian Greyhound should look like, and then look at the dog in front of it, or him or her, and then decide, okay, is this dog meeting that standard? If there's 5 Italian Greyhounds lined up, then the judge is saying, okay, like, this dog has a better head, this dog has a better chest, this dog has a better top line, which is like the top of the dog. This dog has a better movement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the judge is just comparing to the breed standard. So that's the judge's job. Now you as a handler, so the person that you see with the dog on the leash walking around the ring, those are called handlers. There are professional handlers and then there are owner handlers. So I'll just kind of blanket this term handler right now. Handlers are, the person, the individual that shows the dog. So their job is to make the dog look as best as they can. So I'm an owner handler. The dogs I own, I handle myself. What I do is, you get the dog ready to go into the ring. So the handlers would sometimes have to groom the dog. Lucky we don't have to do that. Our breed is near hairless. So but they would groom the dog. Yeah, they would get the dog ready to be presented. And then they would do the work in the ring. You're only in the ring, keep in mind, for maximum 2 minutes. So it's a lot of work to get the dog ready to go into the ring. How it works is, the handler will then walk the dog around the ring, get the judge to go over the dog, and then that's really high level. That's it. Anywho, going back. So now you've won best of breed. Okay. So your dog is the best Italian Greyhound there. The judge said, yep, good job. You win a best of breed ribbon. What happens then is that your dog goes into group. So all the other best of breeds from your particular group. So I'm going to use the toy group as an example because our dogs are toy dogs. You're a sight hound, but that's okay. You're still a toy. you go up against all the other breeds. So you go up against Chihuahuas, Pugs, Pekingese, Affenpinschers, Brussels, Papillons, blah, 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 blah. So all of the different breeds in the toy group, all the best of breed winners go into the ring. At that point, there's a judge. It could be the same judge that did your breed or a different judge, typically. That judge then will determine, okay, out of all of these 30 dogs in this group, which one do I like the best? out of all the breeds, they decide, okay, group one is like first place. That dog is to go on to best in show. There's also group two, group three, group four, meaning second place, third place, fourth place, essentially, in all of the group. If you win one of those ribbons, you are like on fire. Like, that is a big deal. But then, yeah, if you win group one, you get to go into best in show. So then all the other group one winners from all the seven other groups go into best in show, and they compete, obviously, for best in show. That is the tier of progress for a dog show.
Is there an advantage to being a handler yourself, walking your own dog or showing your own dog, or using, because there's the professionals that you'd said?
Correct. So professional handlers know a lot. They know a lot about the different breeds. They know a lot about how to handle a dog. They know a lot about grooming the dog immaculately. They know a lot about a lot. Typically, when you are a professional handler or you hand your dog off to a professional handler, your chances of winning are just a bit higher just because they know what to look for. So they only typically show really pretty dogs.
They're selective.
Correct. Yeah. So like if you handed them like a really poorly bred dog, they'd be like, I'm sorry, like I can't show this dog. This dog's an embarrassing kind of thing, right? Like, I know, it's true. It's so sad, but it's true. They want to like uphold their, it's their job. Like they want to make sure they do a good job at their job. Typically they have a little bit of a leg up also because they go to all the shows and they know everybody. And they've been doing it for years. So a lot of the times professional handlers will win, just because, again, they maybe know the judge or they've shown against the judge many, many, many times. They know what the judge likes, so they can be selective with how they show their dog. It really depends, though, because like I've beaten professional handlers and like it just depends on what the dog likes, or what the judge likes. So if they just like a specific type of dog, then you're gonna win. When people complain about losing against professional handlers, like it's like, well, maybe you should practice more with your dog, because again, they like really take the time to practice. Don't take it to heart if you keep losing against a professional handler. That's all I'll say, because it happens, and when it does, it's like, oh, well, they probably deserve to win.
Yeah.
Thankfully, in our breed, so in Italian Greyhounds, there aren't many professional handlers. In the States, there are a couple. The one gentleman, he won last year at the National Dog Show. He won with his Whippet, Whiskey.
I was going to say, I think I saw that. We were watching start of quarantine. Turn them on for Adelaide.
He also breeds Italian Greyhounds, and he shows his dogs a lot. And so in the States, if he shows up, it's like, ah, shoot, right? But in Canada, yeah, we're lucky. We only have one professional handler, but she is showing a dog that belongs to a judge. So again, politics, it's like.
I think I remember from one of those shows as well that they interviewed a handler of a winning dog. And I think this was the one in England, Crufts. And she said, like, oh, I'm third generation. Like, my mom was a breeder and a handler, and her mom was a breeder and a handler. So, like, it could kind of go through.
Yeah, for us noobs, like, again, I've only been doing this since Willa. So Willa's four. So I've been doing it for 4 years. And, yeah, I'm still, like, a noob. I'm seen as a noob. I know a lot, but I don't know a lot at the same time. You know what I mean?
It's so cool to hear your perspective, though, because if anyone is looking to get into it, like, I mean, we are not looking to get into it, but I mean, who knows? Maybe Phoebe's going to be a star. Who knows? You never know. But now we know who to go to, because if we were to go to someone who has been doing this for years, it's really intimidating. And maybe, you know, maybe they wouldn't have the same advice that you would actually have.
And a lot of the times, I hate to say it, in the dog show world, they can be a bit stuffy. So a lot of the dog show people, have been doing it, again, it's their livelihood, it's their life, they've been doing it for 30 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And so then when you're like this like young person that shows up with like this okay dog, and then your dog wins because you like practice with your dog and your dog is worth winning, whatever, then they're like, oh, what the f, like, who is this chick coming in here? Right, like, that's it's so true. So at the beginning it is difficult. In Italian Greyhounds, I will say this, in Canada, like, everybody is so lovely. Like, I have not met one individual that I'm like, you're crusty, right? Like, no, like, in Canada, we're all really nice. Yeah, again, like, I haven't really had a bad experience here. In the States, I hear that it's a little different. Again, I do show in the States, and I haven't had a bad experience. Every person I've met has been like amazingly nice to me, but that's not the case with everybody. So again, I kind of keep to myself though. I go show my dog, hopefully win, and then leave. I don't like hang around for like drama and stuff, you know what I
right.
mean? So I do my thing and then I get out. But yeah, some people, they like to make it a friend thing, and yeah, we just go for the dog show. Okay. Yes. And then awesome. You win.
I love that. We've got a question here. Can you please comment further on judges preferring certain qualities over others? Is it a level playing field?
Okay. So it really depends. That's a very good question. So say I'm a judge and I breed dachshunds, and dachshunds have obviously a long back. So whether or not they realize it or not, they are partial to long back dogs. The Italian Greyhound standard is to be square. So we are supposed to be square from like the start of the chest to the butt. So our breed is supposed to be square.
Perfect for Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what they may not even know is like subconsciously, they just prefer longer back dogs because they breed dachshunds. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's other... Like, we've had many Whippet judges, and Whippet judges prefer a bigger, hardier IG in comparison to, like, a pretty, dainty, toy-like IG.
Sorry, Adelaide.
Yeah. But then if you have a dog, so say you have a judge, we've had this too, a judge that breeds Chihuahuas, and Chihuahua have the dome head, the dome-shaped head.
Yeah.
It's called, like, Apple head or something, I'm pretty sure. say... You have a dog that is more hound-like, and then you have like an IG that's more hound-like. So Willa has a very hound-like head. And then you have a dog that has a toy-like head. So like a little more bulbous on the top skull, a shorter muzzle, like more Chihuahua-like. Mm-hmm. They're going to choose the Chihuahua-like dog, again, just right. because they're partial to that. It really depends, though. I've had judges that don't know what the hell an IG is supposed to look like, because in Canada we really don't have many, and then they've chosen a dog that is not to breed standard at all just because they don't know. Yeah, just because they don't know, like, honestly. Yeah. Like, again, there's not a lot here and they've never seen like a good one, and that's the way it goes sometimes. So short answer, yes. it can be partial. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. And I guess like every judge is going to have a different background, like you were saying, if they have a history with breeding, or if they've come to this with certain breeds that they've raised or
exactly.
had
and
as
even
pets.
If like we've had Italian Greyhound breeders who are a judge, and like the breed, they only compare to the dogs that they've bred, right? So if your dog doesn't look like the dog that they've bred, then they don't like it. The answer is yes, it's partial.
Yeah. That question actually, it came from a friend, and they have Nova Scotia duck tolling retrievers. So they have this issue in their judging, and as you can see here, right, inconsistent preference on non-faulting items.
Yep. So it happens in every breed. That's really good to know, because it really does. You know, your dog in a Nova Scotia duck toller, you could have too much white or not enough white or not enough undercoat or under fluff, skirting, whatever it's called. Like, you could literally, yeah, it's crazy how judges are partial. They're human, right? So,
yeah.
All right. Next question up here.
Can you talk about the history of dog shows and why they exist and how long IGs have been involved?
So, I'm no expert, but dog shows have been around since like the late 1800s, if my memory serves, it's like 1870s or something. So like mid 1870s, IGs literally were recognized in the AKC in like 1886. So it was only like 10 years later that IGs were entered. And just to keep in mind, the first dog show, the AKC, American Kennel Club Dog Show, only had like pointers and spaniels or something like that. It only had like two types of dogs in it. And so like as the years grew, more and more dogs were entered. And IGs were like pretty much an OG. Like they're pretty, like honestly, like since the get-go, IGs have been involved. They're an ancient breed. They've been around forever. In Europe, they are really, really popular, and they win a lot in Europe, which is really good. But yeah, the IGs have been around forever, in dog shows and not in dog shows. So if anybody else knows more, please tell me, because yeah, that would be very interesting.
I was wondering too, like, if it's Italian Greyhounds, if they were before Greyhounds and Whippets, or is it that they were after?
Greyhounds were first, IGs were second, Whippets were last. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Whippets are, like, not that old. They're only, like, 200 or 300 years old. Like,
I was going to say that. I think the breed is newer.
Oh, they were in the first Westminster. Oh, that's so cool. See, there you go. See, that was many 140 some odd years ago. So that's pretty cool. Oh, my dogs see a squirrel. Go get it. Go get that squirrel.
Go get that squirrel.
The best part of being in Muskoka.
Absolutely. Next question we've got for you here, Mackenzie. How old were your dogs when you started showing them? And what is your own personal history with shows?
Okay, so Willa was exactly 3 months old when we first showed her. So how it works in the dog show world is there are puppy classes. So there's baby puppy. Baby puppy is when you just enter your dog for fun. There's no points involved. So that's how you get a champion, by the way. You put points on your dog. From 3 to 6 months, that's baby puppy. There are no points involved. It's just for fun. But as soon as Willa hit 3 months, I was like, I'm entering her in a dog show. This is going to be so fun. It was only like an hour away from my mom's house here in Muskoka. So I'm like, boom, done. I'm going. She didn't do great. It was kind of a mess because I didn't know what I was doing and she did not know what she was doing. But it was really, really fun. We got to meet a lot of people. That was exactly 4 years ago, Thanksgiving weekend, actually. So like probably like right around this time. So yay, Willa. After that, we showed her what is called junior puppy. So junior puppy is 6 to 9 months. 6 to 9 months is when you are eligible to get points. We started showing her then. She got a few points there, which was really, really good. And then after that, we went into senior puppy. Senior puppy is from 9 to 12 months. And then there's a 12 to 18 class, so 12 to 18 month class. We showed Willa in all of those just because weren't a lot of dog shows around here, as well as like I wasn't as like adamant to go to the dog shows back then. And so, yeah, we entered her in all of them, and she finished by the time she was, like, 17 months old, which is really, really good. And by finished, I mean she became a champion. Sorry. She became a champion. And then Aladar, same thing. We started her really young. Actually, I picked her up at a dog show. We brought her home from the dog show. She was 3 months old. It was her first dog show, and I got to show her, and it was so great.
That feels like a movie, like you pick your dog up from the dog show, like someone like dog napped. No.
That happens a lot. Like a lot of breeders will bring puppies to dog shows for like exposure. And then if you see like a puppy you're like, is this puppy available? Can I have this puppy? It doesn't really happen as much anymore because of waiting lists and things like that, especially with really planned breeding. So it was really fun to pick her up at the dog show and show her at her first dog show. She didn't win, but it was fun.
Good practice, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, from there, again, I continued to show her in the junior and senior puppy classes. She actually finished her championship before she even entered her senior puppy class. She was 7 or 8 months old by the time she finished her championship. And then she finished her grand championship very soon after. She finished that by the time she was 11 months old. From there, I was just like, wow, this dog's really special. I think I'm going to, like, continue to show her. And I was getting a lot of really good feedback from people, and my mentors were telling me, yeah, like, she's really pretty. So I just kept practicing with her, and I started entering more and more shows. And then that led to her finishing. Last year, she was in 2019. She was the number 3 Italian Greyhound in Canada. So she did really, really well. And then she also finished her AKC championship last year. It only took us 4 shows, which is really, really good. That's very quick. And she got all majors. She got a 5-point major, meaning she got 5-point majors are the max amount of points you can get at a dog show. So that means she beat, like, at the one show, she beat like 10 other female dogs to get those points. So she beat a lot of dogs in order to get those points. That's what that means. Anywho, yeah. So, and now she got bored of shows. She doesn't have fun anymore. So she like used to like sulk. Like now she literally will sulk showing up at a show. She's like, oh, this is so boring. So we're like, you're fine. Like, she did well last year. We won't bother her. But that's kind of the progression of the dog shows for us. Same with Willa. Willa hates the dog shows. She never liked them. I forced her. They're boring. Like for a fun dog, they're boring. Like you can only like get them to like pay attention to it for so long. So anywho, yeah, they're both now just living their best lives. So the point of dog shows is to preserve breeds. In order to have the dogs that exist today, we need to have dog shows and to keep those breeds alive. Italian Greyhounds need to fit the breed standard. And in order to fit the breed standard, they need to go to a dog show and they need to win and become champions. And then you need to breed those dogs. So champion and champion, you breed them. They're most likely going to produce champion-like puppies. The point is that you continue that on. So I'm going to use Aladar as an example. Her mother was a champion. Her father was a grand champion. She's now a grand champion. If she produces puppies, her baby daddy is going to be is going to be a champion. So then they'll produce more breed standard type dogs, et cetera, et cetera. That's why breeders do that. They'll keep a baby back, a puppy back, and then they'll continue breeding so that those lines are continued. The breed is consistent. And then that is then those babies, puppies go into dog shows, are confirmed at the dog shows that they are to breed standard. They get a championship title, they breed them, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That's how like the cycle of dog show life goes.
That's so cool. And would you meet the dog at a show, or is it something through your breeder if you were going to breed?
A lot of the times, like it has to do with health testing as well. So in any breed, it doesn't matter the breed. I'm going to use again IGs as an example because I know the breed. We test for things in eyes and teeth. We also look for things like luxating patella, et cetera, et cetera. If there's a dog that has a gene that carries for glaucoma or this enamel issue that our breed has, don't breed the dog. Don't breed the dog. That is bad for the breed. You're causing a lot of problems. So we health test our puppies or our dogs before breeding to make sure that they're healthy. The answer is yes, Barry. I'll just say that.
So Barry's question is, do you plan to breed either of yours?
Yes. Aladar will be bred. And funny story, she's looking at a squirrel right now, and it is so cute. Okay. I did happen to meet the sire that we are thinking of using at a dog show here in Canada. But if that doesn't work out, because I'm still waiting on Aladar's health testing, if that doesn't work out, meaning if they don't jive, if the health testing doesn't match well, then we'll look out elsewhere. So in the US, we would travel just by pictures on like Facebook is a huge thing. Just by photos and videos and seeing other dogs online, that's really helpful. The Italian Greyhound community or breeding community has what's called the Breed Archive. And the Breed Archive is a large website that houses all the health testing for every dog that has ever been health tested. So you as a breeder would upload your dog's health testing onto this website, and then you can like cross check with other dogs in the area. So it's a really, really cool tool that we use to breed healthy dogs.
Yeah, that's so cool. And sire is the baby daddy, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Just checking for
Yeah, they're called dogs and bitches. And then after they're bred, they're called dams or mothers, and sires is the father.
Oh, so a bitch is a dog that has not had babies?
No, you can call, even if they have babies, we still call them bitches. Okay. At least in Canada, we do. It's not like cows, how they're like a cow or heifer and then a cow or whatever it is. I call them bitches. I think it's still, I find it funny.
I read something about if your dog is in heat, and it was like, you better watch your bitch if she's in heat. It's like, oh my God. That's the term. There it is.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And at the dog shows, guys, it is so funny when you hear old people saying the bitch word like over and oh, that's a nice bitch. Oh, what a beautiful bitch. And it's like, okay. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah.
This will be the most R-rated episode of the Iggy Parents that we've had yet.
Hey, let's correct terminology. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, right. It just sounds scandalous. It is the correct term. Barry has one more question. Are you going to keep a puppy if you breed Aladar?
1,000%. That's kind of the point. So again, that's the circle of the dog show life, right? So
right.
You get a puppy, you show the puppy to the championship or grand championship if possible, health test it in between, have the puppy. Those puppies, you then choose the best of the best of the crew. And then you start all over. That's like the circle of life in a dog show world. So yes.
And you show that puppy and then.
Yes. And then you decide exactly if you're continuing to breed or you skip or whatever. Maybe they don't have whatever it may be. But yeah, we will keep a baby. So you just be on the lookout.
Yes. Oh my God. So that means if we show Phoebe, we're going to get a third dog. And that's what I'm picking up from this. Only time will tell. Next question, babe.
Yeah. So can we talk about agility versus conformation? So why would you choose one over the other? And can you do both?
So 1,000,000% you can do both. So we decided to start with conformation because it just kind of fell on our laps, honestly.
Also, can you define what the two
are? Yeah, for people who don't know.
Yes. Okay. So conformation is the dog show. So it's when the dog walks around. It's a beauty pageant for dogs. They walk around the circle. They get judged on how beautiful they are. And then they get points to be champions and grand champions, et cetera, et cetera. Agility is another fun activity where you have jumps, tunnels, weave poles, et cetera, et cetera. That is more like athletic. And that also takes a lot more work. So conformation, you do need to train your dog, 1,000,000%, you do. The dog needs to know how to stay. The dog needs to know how to be handled. The dog needs to know how to show its teeth. Like, the dog needs to know how to do certain things. The dog also needs to know how to gait properly and how to stack, blah, blah, blah. Stack is stand, like the proper stand. So there is training involved 100%. In agility, it's a lot more like, okay, you need to teach your dog to do a jump. You need to teach your dog to go through a tunnel. You need to teach your dog to like stick with you. Like, it's more like fun. I hate to say it like that, but it is more fun. And you can have a purebred dog do agility. You can have a mixed dog do agility. It really doesn't matter. It is just a really good activity to do with your dog. Same with conformation though. I've traveled everywhere with these dogs, and when you win, it's just like such a good feeling. Even when you don't win, it's also a good feeling. But aww. Yeah, the difference is getting a championship title on your purebred dog versus having fun and training your dog to go through jumps and hurdles, et cetera.
Should we stop the video and then come back?
I think so. I think we're going to go over.
Let's take a little break. And by break, I mean we're just going to turn it off and come back in a second. But for the podcast, it will be our break moment. And we will return in just a second. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents. You can follow us on Instagram at The Iggy Parents.
Or find us on YouTube, search for The Iggy Parents, and you'll find us.
This podcast is available where all podcasts are found. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye from Ryan.
And Jess.
And Adelaide.
The Iggy.